Just a curiosity, how many of you here have pets? I know I have a big fat one. Excuse me, he wouldn't like me to call him fat. So, some of you have seen my big dog. How many of you have pets? Oh, you used to have pets at some time. You may not have it now. You have pets at a point in your life. I got more of you. Thank you. Do you think that your pet, whether it be a cat, dog, horse, chimp, kangaroo, budgie, parrot, skunk, okay, Tweety bird, yes. Does your pet think? You ask your goldfish when you get home. Thank you. Okay, you say you don't think so. Okay, do animals think? Now we are on understanding the mind, right? So this is just a little introduction. Do animals actually think? Some of you say, yours does, all right? We know they feel. They have emotions. Do they think? Well, the Bible says they do. Scripture and verse, please, brother. All right. Remember the story of Balaam and his donkey? Don't you think that donkey was pretty smart? Right. Now, before he could talk in human language, he was already keeping records. And in the King James, it's old King James, it sounds very nice because, you know, old Balaam, he was not really faithful to God. And so he kept wanting to do something that God did not want him to do. So at some point, his donkey just refused to move. And at that point, he was so angry, he started beating up the donkey. And so God opened the donkey's mouth to let him begin to speak in human language. And in the old King James, the donkey says, "Have I ever done this to you in all my years?" And Balaam says, "Nay." So the man talked in donkey's language, "Nay." The donkey spoke in the man's language, "Have I ever done this to you? In all these years I've been serving you." Right? He could conduct a conversation. So if animals think, then surely their thoughts are a different category from us. And I'd like you to broaden your understanding. In the Hebrew word, when you study, I got a Hebrew scholar way at the back there, and the Hebrew word for soul has been used in the Old Testament for animals at some point when the flood came and all the souls of the animals died. You can check with a Hebrew scholar later. So he reads his Bible in Hebrew. And a resident Hebrew scholar, Jim. And but there is a strange place there to put it. Now, our understanding of the word soul is always the concept of an eternal soul that exists. And we know our spirits do exist, whether with God or fallen without God. But let's think in the concept of soul as animal souls are different from human souls, of course. We know that as far as the Bible is concerned, I know you all who have watched too much cartoon think all dogs go to heaven. I'm not sure about that. There's no scripture verse. And so I know some of you who love pets, you wonder whether in heaven there are pets. Yes, they are. And God could easily create them. And but animal souls are a different category from human souls. It has to be. Otherwise, we'll be at the same level as them. Obviously, it's not. So there is a soul. Soul involves the area of emotion, some area of thoughts. But the human psyche or soul is a different dimension. It's eternal. And as we know last week, it's attached to the Spirit of God or the Spirit of man within us. The spirit, soul, and body. Scripture verse for that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, which Paul prayed for the Thessalonians, praying that their spirit, their soul, and their body would be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those are the areas that tells us that there's a spirit in our soul. Now, we have been focusing on thoughts in our life. thoughts in our life. And thought seems very important because most Christians don't realize that when God speaks to us, the thought realm is a realm that He deals with. Some of us think that when God speaks, it always must be spectacular. Vision, voice, something dramatic. And in trying to look for the dramatic, we lose the normal means that God used to communicate to us, which is through our inner thoughts. And as we saw in this series, there are different levels of thoughts. There are five Greek words for thoughts, which we group into three different groups. And there are degrees of thoughts. And so for a start in this part six series, I'll just bring forth some scriptures on thoughts in the Bible. Some that refer to human thoughts that are not pleasing to God. But we have an idea at least of what the Bible says in regard to thoughts. Let's look first of all in Psalms 139 verse 2. I just read a whole list of verses first. Psalms 139 verse 2. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow along on the Bible that is projected up. 139 verse 2. It says, You have searched me, O Lord, and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. So God understands our deepest thoughts. And then in Psalms 94 verse 11. Psalms 94 verse 11. And this is a verse in case we rely too much on our thinking. Now, when we dwell into the area of understanding the mind and the thoughts that we all have, different levels of thoughts, there is a danger that we begin to look too much to our own thoughts, and there's a danger that we don't differentiate between our own thoughts and the inner thoughts that God's Spirit placed within us. So we need to differentiate that. By now, most of you will realize that there are the thoughts that come into our lives can come from three different sources. It can come from our own lives. It can come from the enemy. It can come from God. And we need to differentiate the source of our thoughts. We were reading in Psalms 94. Verse 11. The Lord knows the thoughts of men, that they are futile. And not only that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it speaks to us, pick any wise man on the earth, any scientist, any top scholar, anyone with high IQ on this earth, consider wise in our modern world. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 to 20. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So He completely tells us that human thoughts and human thinking, and some of you have memorized a favorite verse with many people in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. I want to emphasize again, the purpose of this series is not to cause us to lean on our own understanding. No way. The purpose is to help us differentiate our own thoughts from the thoughts of God. For God tells us in Isaiah that our thoughts are not His thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so we need to differentiate the thoughts that come into our life. Why are thoughts that important? if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it tells us here in verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15 and 16 too, in 1 Corinthians 2, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? And then the final phrase says, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, how can you have the mind of Christ without having the thoughts of Christ? Which is why in a Living Bible translation, they put, we have the thoughts of Christ. So I've shown you in the Bible where there are verses that say that human thoughts and human wisdom are futile. At the same time, God seems to be working in our thought life, in a thought realm, putting His thoughts into our spirit that we can hear some of His inner thoughts. More verses to come. We have in Romans chapter 8, the passage that we have read before, in verse 6, Romans 8 verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And we realize that by yielding to the thoughts. In chapter 8 verse 5 and 6, last week we emphasized on that. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now hold your thought on verse 5. And we ask a few simple questions, then we go to that one. Did the chicken come first or the egg came first? Chicken. Okay, now you all know. Because based on Genesis chapter 1, the chicken came first. So, right, those who believe in the Bible, the chicken came first. Right? Those who don't believe in the Bible, up to now, there's no solution. And second question. These are two statements. Which do you think would be first, or are they concurrent at the same time? I think, therefore, I am. Hold on. I am, therefore, I think. You like the second one? So which one comes first? I repeat. The world says, this is what the world says, some philosopher in the world says, I think, therefore I am. And then the other one says, I am, therefore I think. How many of you here think the first phrase comes first? How many of you think the second phrase comes first? Oh, we got a majority here. All right, the second phrase. You got an alternate answer. Yes. Yeah, just combine the two together. I think, therefore, I am, I think. All right. Based on Romans 8 verse 5, which came first, the living or the thinking? All right, look at verse 5. Verse 5 is... Can we run up the thing to verse 5? Yeah, thank you. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So, did the living come first or the minding came first? The living. Okay. You live, then you set your mind. Now, isn't out there in the world, they are trying to change your mind and then change you? That's what advertising is all about. But in the Bible, it says, you change something within you, and then your mind changes. Now,